On that afternoon last June, Akihabara certainly lost some of its playful innocence. Now, one of the only visible signs of the nightmare is a small bouquet of flowers hanging from the railing on a corner of the intersection. We sent Roland off on his own to try to suss out the shadowy side of Japanese young people.
You might recognize this music. It's from My Neighbor Totoro, created by Academy Award winner Hayao Miyazaki. In November, Miyazaki called a press conference because he seems to think the children of Japan are in trouble.
When we look at the environment our children are raised in, we see that they get all their pleasure from virtual worlds, including my own animated films. They love television, games, email, mobile phones, and manga comic books. But all of these virtual worlds have one thing in common. They're weakening young Japanese, taking away their inherent natural strength.
Ask anyone in Japan about the younger generation, and you'll hear about three big problems. The first is hikikomori, or extreme social withdrawal, kids and young adults who won't leave their rooms for months or years. This is remarkably common in Japan, and there's no real parallel for it here in America. Then there's kireru, or snapping, in an outburst of violence, just like the stabbing incident in Tokyo. And then there's a stereotype that's unfortunately accurate, suicide. Japan's suicide rate per capita is double America's, and 30-somethings are now the most likely group in Japan to kill themselves.
I actually think that these days, having some kind of problem or disease has become kind of cool.
Misumi Mizuki is a 27-year-old poet. She used to cut her wrists and run wild, shoplifting and even stealing cars.
I wrote about wrist cutting and other problems, and the slogan back then was that it was kind of a jihad, a holy war fought by the younger generation against their elders.
So why do you think young people might feel like it's cool to be hikikomori, socially withdrawn?
Maybe not exactly cool, but for example, my boyfriend now is younger. I noticed he had a cut on his wrist, just a small one, and I asked him if he was okay, and he said, sure, everybody's doing it.
Sure, we've had these problems in America, but for decades, we've also had social service networks and counselors who reach out to teens, or at least they try to. Japan really doesn't, so individuals just accidentally get involved. Like this guy.
Sometimes I'm a writer, and sometimes I'm a singing clown, and sometimes I'm a counselor.
For 5 years, Tatsuya Akikawa hosted a radio call-in program. He talked to over 1,300 people on air, mostly teenagers.
A lot of teenagers said to me they couldn't feel real feelings of living.
Mm-hmm. They couldn't feel real feelings of living. He says they live a shadow of a life rather than a life. Eventually, Akikawa retired the show.
What could I do? I started drinking. It wasn't good for my health. Some of my listeners died. People started pointing the finger, saying, who do you think you are?
I'm from American Radio.
Oh.
Can I record you play a little bit?
Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Is it okay?
Yeah. Very, very thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never need anybody helping anyway. Kohei Suzuki hangs out in Yoyogi Park in Tokyo on the weekends. It's a place where a lot of young people gather to let their hair down, read poetry, sing songs, or just play hacky sack. On weekdays, Kohei is what Japanese call a frita, a freelancer or outsourced worker. And he doesn't like it very much. Won't you The declining birth rate means that Suzuki's generation is small and shrinking. It doesn't really have much of a voice in Japanese society.
A lot of older Japanese, like director Hayao Miyazaki, blame technology. Has Japan been so successful at creating virtual worlds that its young people can't handle the real one?
Since I was young, I've had to a certain extent a rebellious relationship to the system or society of Japan.
Yu Murakami is the godfather of Japanese punk fiction, but lately he's been writing nonfiction, books that try to give young people guidance.
But if I can use a father and child metaphor, Japan as the father, my father is sick now, bedridden. There's no point being rebellious against a sick father.
Japan still feels like an overprotective parent. Hushed pre-recorded voices follow you everywhere. Be careful on the platform, they say. Watch your step on the escalator and take good care. Gochuikudasai. You hear these messages everywhere. It's like a cocoon of comfort. The trains and streets are clean. Crime is low and service is excellent. In fact, expats call Japan the velvet coffin. But it's a lie. The labor market is the worst since World War II. Businesses restructured radically after the 1990s, and the jobs they created are part-time, with low wages, uneven schedules, and scant benefits. Some workers have single-day contracts. They show up at a company to put in just one day's work. The velvet coffin has no lid.
Won't you please, please help me? Help me. Help me.
I met a young software programmer named Tatsuya Yashiro.
Well, I was having job interviews at companies when I was graduating university.
Tatsuya Yashiro interviewed at 50 different companies.
But no company was going to hire me.
Yashiro was nearly hikikomori, or a shut-in. He spent all his time on the internet and looking at dirty manga.
I'm still a virgin, but I do think that real girls are swell.
But Tatsuya had a little intervention from a mentor, and he started offering his HTML coding skills as an independent business. He's 27 now, and he is something new in Japan, a young entrepreneur with two employees headquartered in prime Tokyo real estate. Being the boss is a serious challenge for a guy like him.
Trying to communicate what I want to them in the first place is very hard. And trying to make a place where they feel comfortable is very hard. Talking about salaries. But I have these people in my life every day, and that's great.
Maybe Japan is finally learning to make room in the margins for a man like Tatsuya. And for Mizuki Misumi, the poet we heard before, who used to cut herself. She managed to get her poems published in a collection called Overkill, and it won two of the country's most prestigious poetry awards.
Hikikomori can be seen as a kind of rebellion, a call for attention. Or maybe they just can't figure out what they want to do with their lives.
She read me a poem called Amanogawa, or the Milky Way. It's spoken or sung in the voice of a daughter crying out for her mother. She tries to explain her need for pills, to self-medicate in a world she can't navigate on her own. One of its lines is, "Your daughter hides blood in the ink."
On the afternoon that it was shown that the world was not enough for me, the pill was my friend. Mother, how can you say that it is poison?
Japanese youth are troubled, but they are less materialistic than their elders, less obsessed with the corporate ladder, more entrepreneurial, and, it seems to me, more creative. Just check out the kids performing in Yoyogi Park every weekend, letting it all hang out. And if Japan's establishment can reward a poet like Mizuki for singing her generation's pain, there may be reasons to be optimistic about Japan's next generation. For Studio 360, This is Roland Keltz.
よかった。ありがとうございました。